Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Bob Howard, Assistant Secretary for Information and Technology and Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Also joining us in our conversation is Tom Romeo, IBM's General Government Industry Leader. Bob, you talked a little bit in the last segment about VA's IT realignment and some of the transformation efforts that you've undertaken. Could you tell us a little bit more about this, and specifically, how does this new model differ from VA's previous mode of operations?
The decision to transform the IT management system in the VA was made to correct some longstanding deficiencies in certain areas, and a lot of this came from the Congress. They were very concerned about it. With the decentralized way that the VA was operating as it pertains to IT, you know, they could see different kinds of computer systems and different applications and what have you, you know, being used throughout the VA. Very difficult to tie some of that together. The reasons for the reorganization are several. The VA was not maintaining a standardized IT infrastructure. Interoperability of IT systems was a problem. The compatibility of IT programs was also a problem. Also, the financial aspect of it was of some concern to the Congress. They were not satisfied with the visibility that they were getting over where the IT money was being spent and that sort of thing. And so a lot of pressure from the Congress to centralize the activity and change from a decentralized way of doing business. In the past, under a decentralized model, you know, if you were a hospital director, for example, and you needed some computer application or whatever, you could just go get it. Particularly when you didn't have an IT appropriation to worry about. And quite frankly, if any one of us was a hospital director, you'd probably like that, as long as you got the money you needed and what have you. But when you take a look at across a large organization, if that kind of modus operandi, if you will, goes on for a period of time, you do begin to lose from the standardization standpoint. And that might have been okay, you know, 15 or 20 years ago, but in this day and age, you know, with the web and all of that, it creates problems. So more than anything else, it was a standardization focus, which is why the secretary finally decided to do that. And he took it in a couple of bites. First of all, this is under Secretary Nicholson, the previous secretary of the VA. The first one, he made a decision to consolidate operations and maintenance, you know, the day-to-day functions of running IT. And then several months later, he decided to include the development part of it. And so what we have right now is called a single IT leadership authority for the VA that covers all of the operations and maintenance, the development, all of the security stuff, the handling of the IT appropriation, all of that.
So what are some of the key benefits and advantages of moving to this new model? And could you elaborate perhaps on some of the few principal key elements of this new model?
Visibility over IT activity throughout the VA is clearly an advantage. And we are discovering, you know, problem areas that need to be fixed. To some degree, we're beginning to solve the problem of the haves and have-nots. For example, in the past, if you were a hospital director or an RO director, you may have spent, you know, money on IT infrastructure and kept things up to speed, if you will, and you may not have. I mean, it was sort of up to the individual directors. The IT reorganization is helping now to get visibility over areas that were not adequately resourced in the past and do need to be, you know, brought up to speed, so to speak, particularly in the infrastructure arena. The personnel part, we're putting together a career development program for IT and individuals, IT employees. That existed to some degree in the past, but was not very robust. So we believe the reorganization will be helpful to us in that area. I mentioned the appropriation. Financial visibility is much greater than it was before. The other advantage that I want to comment on, it has to do with security. You know, everybody remembers the breach of May of 06. And then we reorganized and began to move down the path towards a central IT leadership authority. That has given us much better capability to mandate security methodologies and what have you throughout the VA. I'll give you an example. We encrypted all of the VA laptops, you know, in 2006. That would have been enormously difficult, you know, under the previous decentralized way of doing business. The final thing I'd like to say on that is, as part of the reorganization, which the studies and the assistance, of course, was provided by IBM, what IBM also did was produce 36 IT processes that we are now implementing. In fact, quite frankly, it's taken us a little longer than we thought because they're very complex. And, you know, whereas we wanted to be through with all that by this summer, probably take us a little bit longer because they're very good, but it's just taking longer than we anticipated.
So on this note, Bob, this obviously represents a significant transformation for the organization. What are some of the key lessons that you're learning from this transformation? And what advice might you give another federal agency who's perhaps thinking about, you know, large-scale change such as this?
One of the first, in fact, the most important is senior leadership commitment. If you don't have that, you can forget it. Because anytime you have to have a change that is so massive and affects so many people, you're going to get resistance. You really are. And that's why the senior leadership commitment is extremely important. We started out in sort of an incremental path, then realized a full-up transformation is probably a much better way to go. Piecemeal implementation would not really do as well. Aggressive schedule. We feel the speed and intensity is a strategic asset to some degree. That's a mixed bag because sometimes when your schedule is overly aggressive, you may head in a direction that you really didn't want to go in. We've had a few hiccups along those lines. Aggressiveness and speed does help put things in place. Performance measures, you know, we are working on that, not only to focus in on what needs to be delivered, so to speak, but to hold our senior leaders accountable for achieving success. And then the last one I'd suggest is be decisive. Develop the plan and stay with it, stay focused. So those were some lessons learned. I would like to say one thing, though, and it sort of flies in the face of setting an aggressive schedule, and that is it would have been helpful perhaps for us to have a more in-depth assessment of existing conditions, you know, before we actually moved out on this. That would, I think if it's the one thing I would have liked to have seen done, it's that. We probably didn't realize how important it was. But we're finding a lot of issues and problems that we were not aware of, and those would have been uncovered perhaps. However, that could have slowed things down,
sure,
could have stopped the whole initiative. But I'll throw it out there. Sure. You know, if it can be done, I think it's you need to know what it is you signed up for.
So, Bob, you know, you've talked about a number of processes and lessons learned. IT governance is critical to the success of an effort as encompassing as the VA IT realignment. Could you tell us more about VA's plan to enhance governance through the establishment of a set of governance boards?
Yeah, Tom. In fact, the governance boards have only recently begun over the last probably 6 months. It took us a while to put the concept in place. But basically, the procedures we're using, the concept, if you will, is to link into a very important overall board for the VA that's called the Strategic Management Council, SMC. That's headed by the deputy secretary and includes all of the assistant secretaries and the senior officials and what have you. The SMC always did have an IT component, you know, that fed information, you know, into that body. And so what we did, we expanded on that particular part of the SMC construct and formed three subordinate boards. And this is the key governance thing now that deals with IT. The first one we call the Information Technology Leadership Board, and I chair that one. And, you know, equivalent officials, of course, sit on it. That's a high-level IT board, determines the IT goals and approves the IT budgets and programs and resolves issues of the two subordinate boards that I'm going to talk about next. And then so under the ITLB, under the Leadership Board, is two boards. One of them is the Business Needs and Investment Board. We call it the BNIB. And the other one is the Planning, Architecture, Technology, and Services Board. We call it the PATS. The basic difference between the two, the BNIB is more a near-term kind of activity, you know, budget formulation, budget execution, that kind of work. That one is chaired by the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for IT. And he also has the wherewithal, according to the governance construct, to have other deputy assistant secretaries chair that. So, for example, if the BNIB happened to be dealing with an information protection issue, you know, during the whole meeting, he could have the deputy assistant secretary for information protection chair that particular meeting. That's a provision that we put in the construct. The PATS board deals more with future type work, you know, architecture, planning, and we've recently begun developing a program process, not unlike what goes on in DOD, you know, where you lay programs out of a multi-year period. We're putting together the first three-year multi-year program for IT, and that particular board is orchestrating it. So they're more future-oriented. Those are the boards. Now, there are other working groups and what have you that feed those three organizations. So there's other activities, you know, at a lower level. But by and large, it's the SMC, the Leadership Board, the BNIB, and the PATS that we use to do our work.
VA is rightfully proud of its leadership role in health information technology. Would you tell us about the VA's effort to modernize its Veterans Health Information System and Technology Architecture, also known as VISTA? What are the goals for the VISTA modernization, and how does this modernization effort seek to transform VISTA from a hospital-based system to a patient-centered system?
There's a lot of activity going on there. Obviously, we want a better continuity of care, where electronic health records can be shared not only within the VA, but with other government agencies like DOD and what have you. The VISTA system was built, you know, quite a while ago. It's an older code. It's written in a MUMPS code. What we want to do is transform that so that it's more Java-based, you know, can be used in a web environment, and also interface a little bit better with, as I mentioned, other government agencies. It's very, very complex. You know, the work, when you really take a look at VISTA itself, it sort of grew up over the years. It has a lot of separate applications that are interwoven. It's very difficult to pull it apart so you can build the piece parts back together. We're trying to use a service-oriented architecture, you know, to do our work, building packages that can be, you know, used not only to support healthcare but benefits as well. Example of that is the identity management component, for example, of the health record could also be used for benefits activities or what have you, and other. That's the SOA approach, the service-oriented architecture. We are moving to a patient-centric environment where veteran health information can be shared even easier than it can already. And as you know, we already have a good deal of that, but we want to improve on it and make it, you know, seamless, where no matter where the veteran goes, you know, the access to his or her medical information is very easy, to the point where it can actually be accessed by other government agencies, as I mentioned a couple of times now. There's a big effort underway to better link DOD and VA in the electronic health record arena. I think you're probably aware of some of that. The most important aspect of that, by the way, is the standardization of data. It's not so much the application as it is the data that needs to be standardized and that can be used by almost any application. But with that said, we do have some studies underway to determine what is the best way to try to combine the DOD electronic health record and the VA, and that work is ongoing. It's a very high priority with our current secretary, General Peek. He's putting a lot of emphasis on that. We're also trying to better understand the ongoing activity just to keep our current electronic health record healthy and moving along, and at the same time move as rapidly as we can to modernize it. In fact, we've had several large-scale meetings with our people who are very familiar with the electronic health record, trying to lay that out in a master plan, which really does not exist, that ties the current system to intermediate solutions and then on to the future healthy vet environment, which is the future electronic health record. It's striking how complex this particular area really is. I mean, there are a lot of tentacles and you have to be careful as you modernize this, you know, not to break something and not to forget some key component of an application that is very important to doctors and nurses and what have you.
Now, Bob, we hear a lot about collaboration and partnerships among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. I only have a minute left in this segment, but what kinds of partnerships are you developing now to improve IT operations and outcomes at the VA, and how do you see these partnerships changing over time?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of activity with DOD. I mean, it's very, very intense, much more so than it was a year ago. That's the big one. Health and Human Services, of course, is very important. We also, from a data exchange standpoint, Medicare, CMS, you know, is a very very important activity to us as well. There are also associations with universities. In fact, that's a very important aspect of the health environment in the VA. The we call them affiliates, you know, where we have very strong linkages to medical schools throughout the country. In fact, you'll notice if you go to a VA hospital, for example, generally they're located, you know, right near civilian university, and sometimes several universities, almost like a complex of medical schools right there together. So those relationships are extremely important. In fact, many of the doctors that work in VA or the work across the country in the private sector got their training linked to VA in some way. So those are very important relationships and partnerships. And then, of course, there's the private sector contractors in a number of different areas. In the IT arena, we get a lot of assistance from the private sector in helping us, you know, run our electronic health record and fix our infrastructure and what have you. That's an enormously important part of IT. In fact, when you look at the laundry list of contracts that we have in the IT arena, it's quite extensive. We have over 1,300 in a given year, and almost 250 of them are over $1 million. So it's huge, you know, the contracting activity. So bottom line is we couldn't operate without a lot of help.
What about VA's efforts to secure its IT systems and data? We will ask Bob Howard, Assistant Secretary for Information and Technology and Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.